happy and snappy and everything. Can we get anybody else that's happy tonight?
How you doing tonight? Amen. Crack the face. It'll be all right. Tell your face that you're saved. That'll make a difference. Amen. If you are. If you're not, then just keep going ahead and having that grumble face. It'll show on you and tell on you, you know. So smile a while. Give your face a rest. Hallelujah. Good Wednesday night. Got a little joke I want to tell you. It's one of my favorite jokes. I can't tell jokes very good. I have to write them down. And my boys, they all laugh at me because I always mess them up. So I'm going to give it a try. You ready? There's this fella. I'm going to get to laughing. I didn't do it. What's it doing? Switch it back. I'm on the pulpit, so I don't need this. Oh, hallelujah. I like that idea. That's a nervous box is what they call that thing. Amen. But anyway, this fella, he was an atheist. He got up every morning and would take his jog, and, you know, he just thumbed his nose at God and everything. He'd get up in the morning, go out, get his tennis shoes on, go out and open the door and see that beautiful sunrise and all those beautiful trees out there. And he had a nice place where he had a nice path on it. He'd step out on his porch after he'd got his shoes on and stretch and say, ah, what an accident. Some of you get that in a little bit. So he took off on his little jog down through his trail. As he was going along, all of a sudden he heard this sound behind him. It was a... He turned around. He had a black bear tracking him, man. I mean, he was heavy on his heels. Boy, he started picking her up. He started running. He started making tracks. Every time he'd look back, and that bear just seemed to be getting closer, he was trying his best. And one time he looked back and didn't see that there was a limb sticking out, and he tripped. Well, when he tripped, he thump on the ground, rolled over. As he rolled over, that bear pounced and landed right on top of him. And that man said, oh, God, time froze. And God spoke from heaven and said to him, said, sir, am I to think that you have thumbed your nose at me all these years? You have criticized my creation and called it nothing but just an accident. And yet now, in your time of distress, you well out to me, and I'm supposed to save you? And the man said, well, God, you're right. That's unfair. But at least you can make this a saved bear. Time resumed. That bear popped his paws together and said, oh, God, for this meal I'm about to receive, may I be truly grateful. I kind of like that one all by myself. Amen. All right. Well, preacher asked me to come over tonight, and I appreciate the opportunity. I really do. And I, before I want to start here just a moment, I want to have prayer for preacher. He's kind of out. I think in this kind of getaway time, is that kind of what he's doing? So I think it'd be appropriate for us to pray for pastor, because boy, we need him to be strong so when he comes back, he'll be ready to take the bull by the horns again and go at it and do everything God wants him to do and just kind of get a new fresh go. What do you think about that? Amen. So I think it'd be good for us to have prayer for him. But I want to give you something tonight. I'm not really going to preach hard at you, I don't think. But I want to give you something that's going to be kind of an encouragement to you, I hope, all right? But I see some youngins, and some of you are really young, but some of you are old enough to get a hold of this. I want to ask you tonight to really pay attention for a moment. Back there on the back row, and I'm not trying to single you out, right here and right there, maybe three of them at least that are old enough to actually be able to catch a hold of the vision of what we have tonight. All right, will you do that? And then this is for all of us, not just the young, but especially for the young tonight. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray for preacher and pray for service tonight, shall we? Lord, we sure love you tonight. And I thank you, Lord, for Pastor Nichols. And I'm thankful, Lord, that he's had this time that he could get away as a preacher. Every man of God needs this kind of a time just to be able to go and recharge. And I believe he's down there in Tennessee, and that's a great place to recharge, beautiful area. And I pray, God, that you would just give him a good dose of yourself strengthen him, encourage him, and Lord, bring him back with just a brighter flame than he's had, and encouraged in his heart again as he comes back to these great people here, his church that you've trusted him with. And Lord, I pray that you would keep him safe, his wife, and whoever else is with them, at least those two I know of. And I pray you'd keep them safe and get them back home and back in their place again. These people, I'm sure, miss their pastor. And Lord, tonight I pray that you'd help each of our hearts. When preacher's not here, it's not as easy to get going. They don't know me, and they're looking at me like a calf looks at a new gate, and I understand all of that. I just pray you'd help me to help them tonight, to strengthen them, and to do our best first for you. Lord, you're worthy tonight for us to be here in this place, your house, to be here together. You're worthy. But then, Lord, for Pastor, I pray that you'd help us to be able to hold the place for him, and we'll thank you for that. And then, Lord, just move our hearts closer to you. We'll love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Would you take your Bible to Psalm chapter number 73 tonight? And what we're going to do is we're just going to kind of start off with just a little bit of commentary on a passage here that's going to lead us into what is really going to be the message tonight. And here's what I'd really like to preach to you about and talk to you a little bit about. You all right? Everybody with me? Here's what I'd like to talk to you about. I'd like to talk to you about the fact that our life is better. Our life is better. And there's no doubt about that. And you'll understand more as we get along. And if you don't say amen, that's all right. I'm just going to trudge on through it and know that what I'm telling you is the truth. Amen. And so Psalm 73 is where we're going to kick off at. And when you find that, also find Hebrews chapter number 6, because here for a few moments we'll be going over to there and spending some time there as well. All right? Psalm 73. Could you stand for the reading of the Word of God? Would you do that with me, please? Verse number 1, the Bible says, "Truly God is good to Israel." Well, let's just back up and ask this question. Truly God is good to us? Amen. Amen. I agree with that. He is. Even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, "How doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency," David says. "For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me." We'll stop reading right there. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with me. Here in this passage, Asaph, of course, is the writer, but David, I believe this is a direct meditation of something that David had in his heart. And here David, no doubt, has come to the house of God, and as he's about to go into the house of God, he's contemplating some things that have been on his mind. I don't know about you, but there are times that there are things on my mind when I come to church that shouldn't be on my mind when I come to church. Anybody else be honest about that? I heard two that wouldn't. Anybody else join in with me there? Yeah, amen. I think we could all say there are times that Satan will make sure there's things on our mind. Now, here's why he wants to do that. Because if he can get our mind distracted, then when we get into the church house, we won't get everything that God wants us to get at the church house.
Right.
And so it's very important before we get in the house of God that we remove the distractions from our minds so that we can be able to grapple with the Word of God and understand what God has for us from His Word. Amen. Amen. And so David is talking, or it's Asaph, but there's no doubt the king's meditation, the king's heart being known here. And David is saying, you know, I got to look it out. At people, and as I got to looking out at people, man, it just seems like, listen to me carefully here, it seems like the world has a great time and can do anything they want to do and get by with.
That's right. It's like, you're right, preacher, that's right.
Man, I tell you, I'm looking at them and they're prospering, and I'm looking at them, they can curse, and yet they get by with it, and they can do this, and they get by with it, and seems like God does nothing to them, but yet we're always in a lurch. We always seem to have some problems, or we always seem to be attacked, etc., etc. David said, man, I looked this, and man, as I considered this, it's too painful for me. I want you to listen to me carefully. We're living in a day and time where people are abandoning the house of God. And the reason they are abandoning the house of God is they're getting their eyes on the world,
right,
and seeing how it seemingly is prosperous in the world.
Right.
But in the house of God, you know, it just doesn't seem to be going that great.
That's right.
I mean, look at the pews.
That's right.
Every church across our country today is having trouble getting people back in the church house.
Right.
People are more interested. Oh, man, they can't come to church. Because of COVID. They ain't no Walmart because of COVID.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, don't get me preaching. I really wasn't planning on Walmart.
That's all right.
I want to encourage y'all tonight, all right? And some look like they need encouraging tonight. Amen. And so I want to try to encourage us tonight. But we get this idea, young people, why is it that we have all of these rules and regulations, and it's supposed to bring peace and happiness to us, but out there, they can just do what they want to, and they seem to be doing just fine. Can I tell you something? David gives us the answer, Asaph does in this song. Here's what he says. Next verse, look at it. When I went to the house of the Lord, when I went to the sanctuary, then understood I therein. Not therein, when I got in there. He said, I understood where it's all going to settle one day for them. And then he said, you know what? It's looking pretty good for me.
Yes.
That's right.
You're right.
I don't like this all by myself. Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying we as God's people, it's going to level out really nice for us. But those who have abused God and cursed God and thumbed their nose at God, it's not going to level out too well for them.
Right.
He said, their end's not good.
And
sometimes we get this idea, why do we bother with church and children at an alarming rate today, or hitting 18, and abandoning the house of God?
Right.
I think some of it has to do with the idea that we don't help young people understand their end.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we can get up here and really ripping and snorting and pepper it out there about all of the sin and stuff and what they, but I don't think that we really help young people understand the balance between the two and how much better it is to be saved than it is to be lost.
That's right.
Hello?
You're right.
And we need young
It's too much for me to see how it seems like they get by with it. You know what I'm talking about, brother? They seem to get by with it. They can do whatever they want, and nothing ever happens. Before the moment I do something, boom, it's down on me. And it's just too painful for me. And then he went to the house of God, and he understood therein. Can I just give you real quickly therein? Can I do that? And this is not out of pride or arrogancy or out of a spirit of a lack of humility. This is just a truth. Therein is hell.
Yeah. Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, the best the world has to look forward to tomorrow is hell.
That's right.
That's it. Yes, you can go party around. Yes, you can go drink it up. Yes, you can go waste your life away. But the best you have at the end of that is hell.
That's right.
Went by the field and slothful by the man void of understanding. And his old field was completely grown over with nettles. Here's a man who had wasted his life. I'm just saying, their end's not good. But what I want to do is, I told you this is going to be a positive message. Are you ready for the positive side of it? You're not even going to look at me or nod your head or anything, are you? Are you ready for the positive side of it? Here's the positive side of it. I want to look at Hebrews chapter number 6. When we got saved, in Hebrews chapter number 6, Paul says to us, something is very, very important. In Hebrews chapter number 6, I believe it's verse number 9. In verse number 9, here's what he said. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus see. See, when we get saved, there's some things that come along with our salvation that we may not have got a hold of when we got saved. But as we grow, I don't have COVID, I promise you. Yeah. But I do have a scratchy throat and a sore eye, so forgive me, all right? My wife talked to me. No, she didn't. I'm able to have more fun with her now. She's out of the hospital and get to goofing around with her again. She liable to go down through there in a minute and give me a Taiyu Kung Fu kick or something. I don't know. I better be careful. But Paul, as he's speaking here in Hebrews, I'm just trying to get you to smile a little bit. Some of you, boy, it's pretty tough to not get you to smile. It's Wednesday night. I know, but you know Jesus still loves you?
Amen.
Are you still saved?
Amen.
Have you lost your joy?
No.
Okay, go ahead and smile. Help me out a little bit, all right? I'm a stranger here. I feel out of place because your preacher is a big-time preacher, all right? And I'm just a little-time guy, all right? So help me out a little bit. But he said, but we are persuaded better things of you and things that come to salvation. Well, I got this idea. As I was thinking about this, we as individuals need to kind of think a little bit sometimes. Just stop and get our mind wrapped around what God has really done for us. My life is better since I've been saved.
Amen.
I'm saying it is better. I'm not going to have one of the conniptions bits here in a minute. It is far better than it was before I got saved. Before I was saved, I'm just a young man, but I'm still a mess, man. But I'm telling you, since I've been saved, God Almighty has transformed my life, has changed it completely. I want you to think about several things tonight as to why your life and my life is better. How about that? That work tonight? David looked out and he said, all that's a mess out there. And he said, I just don't understand why they get by with it. Then he said, I understood when I went to the house of God. So the house of God ought to be a place where we get reminded of how good God is. And it ought to be that we get chipped up a little bit, helped out a little bit, to understand that God has been good to us. I want you to think with me about a few things as to why my life is better tonight. Number one, I want to say my life is better because of the price that was paid for my sin. Hey, man. See, I owed a sin debt that I could not pay. Now, think a minute. The world still owes that.
Right.
Oh, it's been paid by Jesus, but it's not been applied to their account yet.
Right.
But the moment, are you listening to me? Look here just a second. The moment that I got born again, January the 16th, 1985, that account was settled. Jesus Christ paid my sin debt for me.
because I only did, I couldn't do it.
Right.
And that world out there is still a trap. Who was it I was talking to today? Oh, Brother Stewart down in Georgia. I was talking to him today, a pastor down there. He was talking about being from Pennsylvania. That's where I came from, because I asked him in Altoona, up near Altoona. And he said, I lived up that way. He said, if I still live there, I'd still be part of whatever town he named. He said, but I was a different person. I was part of a different religion. He said, I was lost, but I was going to church. I was lost, but I didn't know the Bible. I was lost, and I knew God, but I was lost. He said, I just tell you this morning, how this evening, hallelujah, God, I'm not lost. My sin debt's been paid. It's been covered completely. I don't have to worry about it anymore. Neither do you. We can live our life with peace and joy and happiness in our life. I can sit in this pew or I can preach a sermon knowing that my sin has been covered.
Right.
Hallelujah, God. I'm at peace. Amen. No matter what happens to me, I'm at peace. One guy come along to a preacher years ago and had a gun in his hand, was going to kill him, took him into an elevator there. As they went in that elevator, he pulled the gun out and he said, I'm going to kill you. He said, oh, yeah? He said, that didn't bother you? He said, no, you can't threaten me with him.
Right.
The guy got nervous, dropped his gun, left the elevator, and he said, boy, not only do I have my sin taken care of, and I'm not worried about dying, I'm going to heaven, I got a free gun, too. I'm saying our life is better. It's far better than the world. Can you think about where the people who are have finished their job today, and how many of them have pulled themselves up to a bar stool to try to get enough courage to be able to go home? You know why? No peace.
Right.
You know why? Their sin has not been paid for.
Right.
Amen. What a blessing this evening. I hope you're getting a hold of this. I'm saying my life is better because the price is paid for my sin. Also, the pardon that I've received, I've been pardoned completely. See, my pardon's not one of those pardons that somebody can pull away from me. Oh, no, it's been made by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has pardoned me completely for my sin. I want to move on because those are the kind of the beginner things. But I want you to get a hold of these other things I really want to kind of get across to us tonight. Number three is this. Why is my life better? Get this. Because of the principles of God's Word.
Right.
He said, beloved, we're persuaded better things of you and things that come to salvation. When we got saved, we weren't just handed this thing out. In fact, I'll tell you who says it. The Pentecostals say that you Baptists believe the damnable heresy because you believe in eternal security. And they said, you practice a license to sin. Oh, no, we don't have a license to sin. See, here's the deal. When we got saved, our want to changed. The things I used to do, I don't want to do them anymore. The places I used to go, I don't want to go there anymore. I want to not change. Amen. Why? Here's why. What did I just tell you? Because of the principles of God's Word. There are things that God has given us in our Word that are principles that we live our lives by.
Right.
See, the world doesn't understand. Why the world would go to church and give 10% of your money? My goodness, you're working all week. In church, and God's going to take some of your money away. Oh, no. The thing is, God wants to get his big shovel out and shovel a bunch more my way just because I'm obedient to him.
Right.
That's a principle in God's Word. A principle in God's Word is that we are to be faithful to the house of God. Why? Because it's the house of God that we go to. To get the help that we need. What am I saying? I'm saying these principles that God gives us betters my life. Let me ask you a question. Let's see. Is your wife here? On the back row?
Yeah.
Okay. She that their husband's attitude and spirit is better after they've been to church as opposed to when they're not in church. And I would flip that around and ask how many of the husbands would say.
You're right.
I can say this. I guarantee you that my life is better every time I come to the house of God. I'll tell you why. Because of people like this one, he may look at me pretty weird tonight and so on because I'm a different fellow. But I'm just going to tell you, my life's better being around this guy. Watching him lead singing, here's a young man leading singing that could be out drinking it up, partying with his buddies, but he's here at the house of God leading singing, taking charge of church, helping his pastor out, doing what he's supposed to do. Hey, what am I saying? My life's better because that encourages me in my life. I get here and I see these ladies that are sitting here, could be other places tonight, but you're down at the house of God listening to a little fat man hollering scream about the Bible. Are you listening to it? I'm saying, hey, our life is better because we have principles to live our life by.
That's right.
Young people, God give you some instruction. Principles of God's Word. There's another one that I could give you there, and some of them I'm going to skip on tonight because there's so many I'd like to get to. But I would say the privilege of answered prayer. You know, I've pastored a long time, and I've been preaching for 36 years, and been doing this a little while, and whether it be in pastoral or assistant or youth or being on evangelism and stuff. I've done this for a little bit, been around for a little bit, and I get tired of seeing people who are not right with God say, well, God hears my prayer. No, he does not. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. That's what your Bible says. Can I just tell you this? Lost people just well forget it.
Right.
God's not here. Be merciful to me, a sinner. God hears that prayer. And the moment that prayer is made, then every other prayer can be answered by God. And until that is said. But you and I, as God's people, listen to this now. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need.
Amen.
Amen.
I watch people get all frantic about the nutcase they voted in the White House, and now they're all worried about the fact of what he's doing and how he's messing everything up. Well, you know, ask for it anyway. And they're sitting there, and man, they're all panicky. And what are we going to do? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go to the person who's really in charge.
Right.
The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's sitting high on the sovereign throne. He always will be God. Amen.
Right.
He's got it all under control. And our life is better. He said, watch and pray that you fall not into temptation. Well, what is that? If I don't fall into temptation, then my life must be getting better.
Right?
Right? Must be getting better. If I'm not going the wrong way and I'm going the right way,
right,
my life must be getting better. What a blessing. Amen. Here's one that I want you to get over that I want to stop with tonight. What time are y'all usually done?
9:00.
What time? 9:00. He had a lot to say. I'm pretty shallow. Amen. It's just about 20 to 8. Pennsylvania there, and we were heading to this little church. And there in Pennsylvania, those people are idiots. They build their houses. They build their houses right there on the edge of the road. I mean, that's insanity, ladies and gentlemen. You're asking for someone to park in your driveway or in your living room.
Yeah.
I might have.
Right.
I was there at one person's house when we were at a revival meeting, and they were talking about how they had a crash where they came literally right into their, right into their front room and right into their dining room. And they're sitting there like, oh, okay, kind of forgot me. You know, pretty bad thing. I'm just saying, they're crazy. But those little roads go chilling back through there. We were heading down to this church. We come around the corner, and there was a pasture here to the right side. There was a fence line, and there was probably about that much of grass. Am I right? About that much of grass. And there was a calf that was pressing against that fence, reaching as hard as he could to reach that little patch of grass right there on the edge of the road. And as I come around that corner, I could have made hamburger meat out of that dude.
Right.
What stopped him? Trying to say our life is better than this world.
Right.
And men, I want to say, there is an all-out assault on the men of God,
right,
who come to our churches today. An all-out assault to get your mind and your heart away from your wife and away from your church.
Right.
I said there's an all-out assault.
Right.
There is an all-out assault to captivate our minds, blow it away, and get to thinking that the greener pasture is better than what God has for us.
That's right.
All out. All out.
You're right.
Their pasture.
and let you go tonight. Our life is better because of the principles of God's word, these protective barriers, that the protection of God in our life. Our life is better because of the provision hand of God, man. Everything I have comes from God. Every good and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What a God we have. Where do we get that? The moment you got saved, you got a heavenly Father who cares about you and loves you. He loves you more than you love your own self. Amen. Amen. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says that we're sick in our prayer life. Romans chapter number 8. That's what he said. Your prayer life's sick. So the Holy Spirit helpeth the feelings of our infirmities and prays on our behalf. What a blessing to have the Holy Ghost of God.
Amen.
Taking up the account for us. Why? Because they care for us. What a Savior. Our life is far better. And I'll give you these last ones. Just read them off to you and I'll be done. How about this one? Because of the purpose for my life. I have a reason to live. What a blessing. It's a tragic thing today.
Where do you work at, Doc?
Is your favorite company a welder?
Welder?
Mm-hmm. Where do you work, sir?
National Guard.
National Guard, did you say?
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
I just work there.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. Still thank you. Where do you work, sir?
Instruction home.
Instruction?
Okay.
Where do you work, sir?
I'll be lobby.
Men back there? Your vocation is why God left you here. Your primary reason for being on this earth.
Amen.
Your avocation is the job that God gave you to support your vocation.
Amen.
Did you hear that? And you wonder why a lot of churches are struggling today? A lot of times it's because people do not understand that God gave them a job to promote their vocation.
Right.
What is that? Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, you all to the glory of God. We in our mindset got this. We make our money to make it.
That's right.
When God gave us an opportunity to make money to serve and the more that you give to God, the more God blesses you.
Amen.
You're right.
He's got a purpose for you being here. Do you know that? It's not just to fulfill your responsibilities Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You're here to serve God and lead others to your God. I have a purpose for the day. And when God is done with me, guess what I'm going to do? Absent from the body, present. Nevertheless, the reason I'm here, that's it. To serve God. But we're so wrapped up in our jobs more than we are.
And I pray, God, that you'd help us to realize our life truly is better. And maybe we're not making the best of this life that you've given us. I pray tonight you touch our hearts and help us, Lord, to make a decision tonight to say, Lord, I'm going to start being more interested in those protective barriers because that helps my life to be better. There's things I've been watching or seeing or doing, or even my children have watched that I shouldn't allow. Lord, I'm going to be more interested in the precepts of God's word to make sure I live my life by the principles that I'm supposed to. Lord, so much tonight. Thank you for being so good to us, saving us, changing our life. Help us, Lord, in these days. I don't know how long these folk have been saved. It's so easy to fall into a rut. Help us, Lord, as we look at 2022 and say, Lord, I'm getting out of the rut. I want my life to be all you want it to be. For your honor and for your glory, we ask in Jesus' name. We'll stand our feet. Our heads are bowed. I don't know what you do on Wednesday night. Do you have an invitation?
No, sir.
Prayer request? All right, I'll turn it over to you, my brother. God bless you.